Winter, season of rest and renewal. Leaves decompose, replenishing the ground with nutrients. Winter, season of storms and strong winds. Trees are stripped bare, left vulnerable, exposed to the harshness of the elements. Winter, season of death and decay, when hope can seem a long way off and the only thing that grows is doubt. Okay, how do you experience the season of winter? Do you watch the TV forecast, the weather forecast on the TV, desperate to see these white star shapes that mean snow? Snowball fights, snowmen, sledging, skiing, and for the children, best of all, the chance that school might be closed because the pavements are closed and are packed with snow. Or, on the other hand, you pull back the curtains, turn up the heat, dig out a good book or the latest box set, and just settle in. On the other hand, winter can be a busy season, full of activities with such a big variety of places to visit, even time perhaps for a pantomime or a watch night service. However, for many, winter can be a hard season, facing a decision of putting on the heating with all the expense that entails, or leaving the house to get colder and colder with all the health problems that can cause. Icy, treacherous pavements mean the daily trips to the shops are very difficult. Unable to get out, people are left isolated and alone. It's difficult when you feel left out and isolated at any time of the year and in any season of life. Consider for a moment a time in your life when, for whatever reason, you have felt lonely or isolated or excluded. I'd invite you to take a moment or two sometime to bring those feelings to God in prayer. In James 1:17, which we've already heard, we're told that we can put our trust in God, knowing that he is the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. When you're praying, take time also to those who are feeling excluded from our society today. And pray for those who are excluded from participating in society around the world. People like Mathi and Kasturi in the photograph in the overhead. Mathi and Kasturi are, and their friends, and millions more that like them in India, are from a social group called the Dalits. Most of the other people in India think that they are superior to the Dalits. They don't want to talk to them. They don't like them living in the same area. They don't think it's important that they respect their human rights. Some people are even quite violent towards them. They are considered the untouchables, the lowest of the low. Traditionally, Dalits come from poor communities. They're expected to do the kind of work that other people won't do because it's either too hard or considered unclean. And yet, instead of being grateful, folk exclude the Dalits from things that they need. Essential things like access to health care or education or even getting jobs in which they can use their skills. It is wrong. Dalits are made to feel and be separate from the rest of their community. If we never meet or speak to folk who belong to another group, it is really very difficult to grasp what their life is like. So take time sometime to pray, and pray for all of those who are experiencing the darkness of loneliness, isolation and exclusion in our community and in communities around the world.
So I'm going to give the next talk on the seasons. So what does that mean I'm speaking about? What did Mr. Imlay talk about? winter, and so where I'm talking about, shout, spring, yes. And what was that last song about? Let me have a look. I might have something to help in here in my bag. What's this? What's that? Can you see? It's a bulb. And Claire, who chose the songs, has promised us that there's a flower in there. How did that get in? How did a flower get in the bulb? How does the flower get out of the bulb? What do we have to do to get the flower out of the bulb? Well, I cut it up.
Smash it!
That's a thought. Do you think I'd find a nice daffodil in there? Grow it! Who's for smash it and who's for grow it? Boys are for smash it, girls are for grow it, okay? Ariel, do you want to pop it in my pot and we'll see if we can grow it? That's it, just pop it in. Can you reach? Pop it in. That's it. Oh, well done. Okay. Smash it, you think? No? Well, wait. What do we need to do to grow it?
Water.
Water it! Okay. I've got some imaginary water here. Okay. What else does it need to grow? Soil? Oh, yes, there's some imaginary soil in there, too. Good. What else? There's sunlight. Okay. So we've got oil, water, and we've got soil. Is it growing? What's it going to do? What then? It's growing. It is too. A bit more water. That's amazing. That's amazing. Look at that. It's growing. So what did it need? It needed
soil
and water and what else? And who provides all those things? God does. So God provides the seeds and the water and the soil and the sunshine. And he doesn't do it as a magic trick like I've done. Because you don't get spring onions out of daffodil bulbs over. But it's a cute trick. But God does it for real. It's not a trick. When God does it, it's a miracle, isn't it? So I've got some things in here, and I want you to see if you can tell me what they are. They're little, so I need you to come and have a look. Is anyone going to come and have a look? What are these things? What's that, Jemima?
Seeds.
Seeds? Have a look. Oh, do you want to take one? They're black-eyed pea seeds. Do you want to take a little pot to put them in? When you go home, you could grow it. Would you like that? Oh, not that one. That's got a big hole and a spring onion in it. There you go. Do you want to give everyone? Do you want to pass those around? What do those seeds look like? What do they look like? Are they square? They're a little bit like an egg. Yes, that's another sort of seed, isn't it? I've got some little pots you can have. So they're all sort of small and round, aren't they? Whereas the plants they grow into are all sorts of shapes and sizes. So that's amazing, isn't it? Does anyone want to take some and plant them? I've got some pots here. Ooh. If you want to take some seeds, do you want to pass them along if you want one? You don't have to. I'll leave them here if you want them. Actually, we'll put them somewhere safe in a minute. You've got loads of pots. Do you want to give me them back? Or do you want some more seeds for them? More seeds. Do you want to be in charge of the seeds? And you can be in charge of the pots and make sure everyone's got their seeds in their pots by the end. Oh, very good. Yes, closing it up so they don't spill everywhere. Oh, Granny's taught you well, hasn't she? Good. So what we're going to do now is we're going to say a prayer, but we're going to do it. We're going to pretend that we're seeds and that we're growing roots, which will be our legs, and stalks, which will be our arms. And we're going to use a growing plant to help us to remember the things that we need to thank God for. So is everyone ready to curl up and be a seed. Be a seed. Dear God, we thank you for seeds that contain all the hope of new life. And we thank you for your Holy Spirit who among us promises and nurturing and life. We thank you, Lord, for roots which grow out into the soil. And we thank you for the soil of your word in your Bible, that we can grow in that nutrient safe place. And we thank you, Lord, for talks. And remember that we rely on Jesus, who is strong and who will keep us safe. Even when we're in difficulties or problems, we can rely on his strength, even if we don't have our own. Then we thank you, Lord, for the branches that come in spring. Branches that stretch out just like Jesus on the cross and remind us that life isn't always what we would have it be, but that Jesus goes there before us. And that at the end of those branches, we've got leaves and new life. And that after the suffering and after the pain, there comes times of blessing that we can reach out, not just for ourselves, but for everyone around us. Lord, we thank you for the new growth. We thank you for new life. We thank you for all your blessings upon us. In Jesus' name we thank you. Amen.
Right, quick word with the young ones. It's a new season we've moved on to. It is summer. Now, I really wanted winter so I could wear one of my Christmas ties and we could sing a Christmas carol. But Bill got in there first, so I've got summer, which is maybe a wee bit quiet, maybe a wee bit dull. But when it comes to summer, what do you think of as summer? Go on, Sarah. There's no clues up there. So. Sun. Excellent. Come on in. Sebastian. Dry days. Nice dry days. Yes, Callum. Going to the beach. Good. Holidays. Right. All the sort of things I've got on my list back there somewhere. And we also think at the end of the school holidays, we have the holiday club. I think all of you were there. And what was the theme behind that? What's different each day? The theme is backpackers. And what did we do differently each day? We went to a different place. Thank you, Callum. We went to... Don't let Claire down. Go on. We went to England, went to London on the last day, went to France, went to Paris, went to Zermatt in Switzerland. Paris, we did. We did Stockholm and we did Rome. And that's lots of places people go to for holidays. And the benefit of the summertime is it's nice and dry and bright and sunny, usually. We get outside. We get all the goodness from the sun, the fresh air. We can gee ourselves up, get ourselves boosted health-wise before the dull autumn and winter come along as they're coming in now. And it helps us. And it gives a chance to relax a wee bit. But the hot, sunny weather, as you know, is also good for things that are growing. Not just you, but crops, but plants and everything else. They need the sun at the right time, lots of it, to grow and be ready for harvest. And I'll hear about harvest in just a wee minute. But it's no good with just one stem of a plant coming on its own and then another one in another field and one away, miles away. All the plants have to come together. All the wheat has to come and ripen at the same time. All the oilseed rape has to ripen at the right time and everything else. So the whole field is there, ready for the farmer to go out and bring it all in together. And God looks after all that. And what we also need to remember is that we need to do things together at the right time. And that way we can achieve an awful lot more. Now, Bill mentioned earlier on about Kasturi, and I've got a wee something to read here because her story has moved on a wee bit. And the time in our life has come where Kasturi and her friends have formed what's called the Women's Farming Collective. A number of women have got together and men to work together. They were given land by Kasturi's friend Selvi and are supported by Christian Aid, and it's the Christian Aid Harvest theme that we're working on today. And Christian Aid's local partners provide training, seeds and help with getting the crops to market. Kasturi and her friends are all flourishing together, as we will see here. And as she says, alone as a woman, I couldn't do this. But together, the five of us, we can be successful. If one of us is sick and cannot work as a team in solidarity, I have no words to explain how happy I am to be here with my son and with the others. So if one person is not able to do something, there are lots of others to help out. And it's the same with us. If we all work together, we all come together, we can do an awful lot more, and especially with God's help. And we thank him for that. And we thank him for summertime as well.
We come to the final season, and it's autumn. Autumn is a season of change and transition. Transition from summer to winter, when the duration of daylight becomes noticeably shorter and the temperature cools considerably. We are changing from the sunshine of the summer, the warm weather, to the dull and cool climate of the winter. But autumn is also characterized by the shedding of leaves from the trees. And all those changes remind us that our lives are constantly changing too. Of course, change is always with us, but the autumn brings us to a deeper awareness that we live in a cycle of dying and rising, and so we need to be open to change. And as autumn begins, we are called to reflect where we are being invited, not just to change, but also to surrender our masks and become more truly who we already are. Autumn only occurs once in the Bible, in Jude 12, 13, where the false teachers are compared to autumn trees without fruit, implying that autumn should be a fruitful season, the most abundant of the year. But how can we make or take advantage of the autumn life? When life's autumn arrives, we look back and we better understand the way God has led us through the chances and changes of life, but yet has himself remained unchanged. The seasons come and go, but God remains unchanged, and he is unchanging. That is what the psalmist meant when he proclaimed, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. But there is a lot of unwelcomed change in our world. Moral and societal changes. Political changes that punish the masses and serve the privileged few. Religious changes that lead to the commercialization of the gospel and other unhelpful practices, including compromising the good news of salvation. We are painfully aware that our kids are growing up in a culture far different from the one most of us knew, where traditional and moral values were upheld by undisputed truth. Then there is climate change that threatens our very existence on the face of the earth. Our bodies too are changing. We are getting older, and sometimes we don't like that change very much. But amid all the changes, one thing, one person never changes, our eternal God. Henry Light puts it so well, swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Earth's joys grow dim, its glories pass away. Change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. In autumn, the unchanging God invites his changing creatures to gather in the harvest, to name and to celebrate the fruit of the seeds of dreams we planted months ago. And in holding these two intentions, the harvest and the celebration of our nurtured dreams, we are reminded that in our letting go, we also find abundance. Think of what your harvest can do today during this season of transition. It can help many families to break free or transition from poverty and disease to a better quality of life. Change and decay in all around we see. O thou who changest not, abide with us.